We need you now. One generous Marketplace fan, Dr. Joe Rush from Florida, is offering to match the next $50,000 in donations to Marketplace. And every single gift gets us closer to a critically important May fundraising goal. Give right now and double your impact thanks to this generous match. Go to marketplace.org/donate. Did you know average income in America's poorest state, Mississippi, adjusted for purchasing power, is higher than in France? We'll hear an argument for counting our economic blessings. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Pollsters find 4/5 of Americans expect their kids to be worse off than they are. And in a poll earlier this spring, our friends over at NPR and PBS found only 38% approve of President Biden's handling of the economy. Yet here's The Economist magazine arguing in a recent piece these worries obscure what it calls a stunning success story. Here to explain what we're missing is the editor of The Economist magazine, Zanny Minton-Beddoes. Good to see you.
Very nice to see you, too. Great to be here.
So help us be happier about our economy. America has some key strengths, right?
It absolutely has some key strengths. And first, let me start by saying I completely agree with you that one of the few things that both Democrats and Republicans agree on is that the economy is in a mess. And poll after poll tells you that people are feeling unhappy. But if you go back and look at how the U.S. economy has been performing, which is what we did in this cover story, it's actually a remarkable story. And it's a remarkable story of outperformance relative to other rich economies. If you look at GDP, the U.S. in 1990 was 25% of world GDP. It's now about the same, despite the rise of China, and it's a much bigger share of the rich world than it used to be. It's also much wealthier than West European economies or Japan, the other big industrialized economies. It's grown faster, and on all of the ingredients of growth, whether it's productivity, whether it's the education of its workforce, it is actually pulling ahead faster relative to Western Europe and Japan.
Right. And right now there are some people listening to us sputtering, saying, okay, Zanny mentioned gross domestic product and she mentioned a lot of measures of prosperity, but she didn't mention life expectancy in America, which in the Economist article acknowledges is going the wrong way.
Absolutely. And that, look, the U.S. has a terrible opioid crisis, you know, awful. But I don't think industrial policy is the way to address the opioid crisis. The U.S. has serious social challenges. Don't misunderstand me. You know, I lived here for most of my adult life. What we were doing in this article was not to be kind of Panglossian about it. We were saying that just it's worth looking at how well this economy has performed. And it's worth understanding why it's performed so well. And then I think it's worth concluding from that. What are the kind of policies that perhaps shape the social safety net, but which don't kill the goose that lays the golden egg, which don't undermine the strengths that are this economy? And what worries me is that the more right now Americans think their economy is a problem, the more politicians are being pushed to the kinds of policies that over the next 20, 30 years may actually mess it up.
Yeah. And you see that among conservatives and liberals on things like trade policy.
Absolutely. And if it had no consequences, then it wouldn't matter so much. But the kinds of policies that both sides are now talking about, like tariffs, like more protectionism, that really risks undercutting the engine that has been the U.S. economy.
Zanny Minton-Beddoes, editor of The Economist, talking about the recent issue with the illustration of a cowboy on a tall-legged horse with the headline, Riding High, the Lessons of America's Astonishing Economy. Zanny, always good to talk to you.
Very good to talk to you too, David.
We also drill down deeper on an elephant standing here, economic inequality, marketplace.org, if you missed that part of the interview on the air today. We need you now. One generous Marketplace fan, Dr. Joe Rush from Florida, is offering to match the next $50,000 in donations to Marketplace. And every single gift gets us closer to a critically important May fundraising goal. Give right now and double your impact thanks to this generous match. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Two senior executives at the company that makes Bud Light are now on leave. They'd overseen the beer brand's collaboration with a transgender actress and social media influencer. Bud Light sponsored two Instagram posts by Dylan Mulvaney, a trans woman, and also sent her a can with her picture on it. Some customers responded with anti-trans comments and are boycotting Bud Light. The news editor at the publication Ad Age, E.J. Schultz, is following this closely. Welcome.
Good to be here.
What have you learned about these executives, Bud Light's VP marketing and an Anheuser-Busch VP of marketing, both on leave now? From your information, were they ordered to stand down, or how did it work?
It's a little bit cloudy. They originally portrayed this as a leave. They didn't really go into details in terms of if it was by choice or forced. Some news has been reported later by some other publications that it was not by choice.
And I see data that Bud Light sales fell 17% compared to the same week a year earlier. Do you have a sense about whether this will affect the way other brands proceed in their willingness to embrace LGBTQ plus people?
Other brands are absolutely watching this. The early sales returns show that the people that are upset over this are actually having an impact. And it really speaks to how the political winds are shifting when it comes to transgender issues. We've seen, of course, legislation introduced across many states around transgender rights and trying to curb those rights. And so brands have suddenly become targeted as part of this larger debate.
It's difficult from the outside to parse exactly where the company stands on this. The company's defended its partnership with Dylan Mulvaney, saying in a statement, it works with hundreds of influencers across brands as one of many ways to authentically connect with audiences across various demographics, unquote. But then these executives are now on leave, which seems to tug in a different direction in terms of what kind of message the company is sending.
Right. Outside of that original statement, they've since sort of really walked, if not sprinted, away from this issue because of the heat they're feeling from distributors. They're almost in the middle because they've even gotten criticism from more on the left of, hey, why haven't you come out and had a more robust statement on transgender rights? They've really just said nothing specific since this has happened.
E.J. Schultz is news editor at Ad Age. Thank you very much.
Great being here.
Our executive producer is Kelly Silvera. Our digital producer is Jarrett Dang. Our engineers are Jessen Dooler and Nick Esposito. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.